Welcome to Easter time. Today begins what we know through our catechism as Easter time. It is from the first Sunday of Lent until Trinity Sunday this year, being June 4th. Unfortunately, many of us don't recall what Easter time is or what is meant by it, why we have a time of Easter. But it is something which we must recall to mind today, because it will lead us into our Lenten resolution. I was at a school recently and quizzed the students on when Easter time was. It is not because I thought they may not know. I know very few people realize what it is. It's because we don't focus on the details when it can matter. And because we modern Americans at times are very black and white and despise gray, we don't like moving parts. Easter time is always moving. It's always the first Sunday of Lent and ends on Trinity Sunday. Neither of those two feasts are fixed. And that's what we get upset. We like fixed things when many of our catechetical instructions are principled and they have to be applied to things. And so for us, let us remember why we have Easter time. It is because we have a precept of the Church which requires us to receive a good Holy Communion during Easter time. Not before, not after, but during. You will, most of you, receive Holy Communion today. You can make your Easter duty today. But the unfortunate thing is that we often live by the Spirit and not by the letter. The letter we know at times, but don't focus on. You live by the Spirit because you receive Holy Communion often, sometimes weekly, if not monthly. But you don't realize that you need to make this Easter duty. You have, because you've received Holy Communion well during Easter time. But the problem of not recognizing the letter and what it means is that we're not on fire for it. We're not spreading this news. We're not encouraging others. Reflect on how many people have not made their Easter duty for years. It's our duty to teach. It's our duty to encourage, not only to fulfill the law and live by the law, but want others to do so as well. You're encouraged today to not only make a good Easter duty this year, but think beyond yourself. Don't judge the other, but encourage that person not to offend our Lord once again. It's all about respect. We want to respect God by following His law. And that's what leads us in to the resolution of our prayer. Typically, it's an announcement, but forbidden to make announcements during February. It becomes its own sermon. And yes, it's worth a sermon. It's worth a little more than a sitting, a trailer. Because for us, over the last few years, it is apparent to me that we need to increase in our great reverence of the Mass. Some of you have heard there is a rumor out there, I had it secondhand, that in the northeast of this great nation, there was a priest who preached to his people in the diocese and said, "Your Lenten resolution is to give up the Latin Mass." You know that Rome is trying to extinguish the Latin Mass as easy as it can be. That's the intention of Rome. That is what Pope Francis is unfortunately pushing forward. It's not going to affect us at all, directly. It could bring many more people to us if we don't have room for them. We have to help them. And yet, it will indirectly affect us, as I've received directly from the Diocese of Albany, from the bishop's hand himself, the prohibition to celebrate the Latin Mass at the Archbishop's Shrine this coming September at our pilgrimage. year we were forbidden in the Colosseum, but gratefully offered the remaining. This year, at least in the letter, the lawyer says, and the shrine thinks, it forbids it on the property itself. You might recall many of you when we used to have to say the Mass in the tent. No longer is that possible. The Mass is being persecuted. Even one of our three bishops of the society said recently, we are no longer in a time of peace. Pray for our local bishop of Syracuse, who is striving to protect the Mass. What a great champion he may be, but it takes strength, this fortitude and courage to stand for what is right, to stand for the truth. Are we there? Are we ready to stand by the Mass? It won't affect us directly, of course. We have no wants. But yet, in our actions, we at times don't show that great reverence and respect. It is when we come in and out of Mass, we arrive to Mass late, we leave Mass early, we have to resolve to amend our life. Of course, you know that necessity and ability take away the obligation. But let us focus upon the Mass is an obligation. We are obliged to be at Mass on time, to be here totally. We will reflect on that today because we want to reverence the Mass. We want not only to be with it, to wish to have it, but to truly reverence it. If you go to extra Masses, it doesn't apply in this way, but every Sunday, every holy day of obligation, this is what is required by God and His Church. It's to be the Mass on time, and to have in totality our presence. You all know that if you don't miss one of the three principal parts, it's not a mortal sin, and that's correct. But we have to get out of our system that it's just a venial sin. Because again, we need to reverence, we need to give a greater respect, and we need to give a great example to others. This today is just a reiteration of what we know, a reminder to us, new parents, help your children. Of course, you need to train your children. You need to rear them. They might have to go out and be disciplined or out and have a question. That is your parental duty. But for the rest of us, unless it's necessary, or unless we have some reason incapable to follow these obligations, we should be at Mass in totality. And so a few guidelines, of course, for the three principal parts of the offertory, the canon, consecration, and the communion of the priests. Those three things follow directly after each other, and so it would make sense right at the beginning of the offertory through the communion of the priests, you are never leaving. But at times, people leave right after the consecration. For what? A drink of water, a bathroom break, or a tissue that doesn't seem to be always necessary. It will take time. It will take thought, but this is the catechism of the Church. And we have to also remember that it is a venial sin to miss any part of an obligation Mass unnecessarily. If we arrive late before the offertory, it's a venial sin, it's cool. Remember, a sin has to be committed intentionally. If you were postponed by the train, it's not your fault. But it could be your fault if you always miss Mass because of the drink. You have to calculate that. You have to know your path. You have to know who you are. You have to get up early at times because you're slowing or whatever it be. But also, we can't leave Mass early. This is the greatest act in the whole world. The problem of us modern Americans is we're so used to games. We're so used to concerts, we're so used to celebrations, and those are mundane, they are not sacred. We're in and out. We go and talk to people on the phone and come back. We have a commercial break. This is what we're swinging in, and that's why we are who we are. But today you are encouraged to reflect and to make this resolution for yourself and to help others. Some of you, this is the easiest resolution you've ever heard of. Because you're always in that, all the time. You never leave. But you have to think outside yourself and help the other. Be that good example. Because right now, the thing, the fad, the trend, is to come in and out of us. We have to. We have to stand firm. We have to encourage others to have a great love of this mess, because there are some who are holding on by a thread, by the decision of the one bishop to protect this mess. Thankfully, we have been fighting for 50 plus years. It's going nowhere, but we will be persecuted. We will be asked why we love this mess so much, and it has to penetrate. It can't just be because it's in Latin. It can't just be because this is where I was formed. It must be because this is where God saves souls. Don't forget, don't be scrupulous, but do start striving to make a greater effort to be here on time and to stay as long as you can. We, of course, at times will have to leave. Don't be scared. I will not judge you. I am not God. Thank God. But I am his minister. I am a teacher. And we will make a certain comparison today. God will judge you according to what you have been taught. I must teach you what you must do. As in the school, the principal is God. He can expel. He can forbid your graduation. He can postpone graduation. But it's the teacher who actually instructs and gives out wisdom. And that teacher is the one who grades and either promotes you to the principal or not. And then we have the secretaries, the ushers. They're the ones that keep people informed, say, in the church. We also have a little problem with people being in the hallways, listening from afar because they're nervous to come in. There are tons of chairs. You want to be packed in. That's your intention. You don't want to be nervous, and sometimes we have that temperament, but the ushers are going to try to pack you in. If we need a bigger place, that's my problem. But we want to see the altar. We're obliged to attend Mass and see. If for some reason we are packed next week, 1,000 people here, and you're in the hallway, there is no sin. But I must change that. Let us get this in our ideas, that we must do more out of reverence for God. And do note that there are at times good and bad news. Bad news first. It's that there are people who come and visit. There are people who come and see who we are. And they have told me directly that they are scandalized at how quickly people come and go into Mass. They say it's not normal. That's the bad news. That due to our bad habits at times, we do scandalize. We show that lack of reverence even involuntarily. Parents of children, you're not scandalizing anyone. For those who just run into the restroom and get a tissue, invest in handkerchiefs. It's a great thing. If you know that you are sick, stay at home. But if you're striving to come because you're not contagious, prepare yourself. And then the good news. Recently, as you oftentimes see me in the hallway, because I say one Mass and preach many sermons, I meet many of you in the hallway. You look down because you know there's an explanation, but you can't tell me it's Mass time. Don't worry about that. I'm not God. You and your conscience. However, there was one person I met recently. It was during High Mass, during the Gospel. This man came and said, "Is Mass going on?" I thought Mass was at 10:30. Sorry. He said, "Is there another Mass?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'm going to that Mass at 12:30. This man, a native New Yorkian, not a little left from here, but a man with a backbone, a man with courage, a man who knows his faith, he was not guilty of being late. He thought it was 10:30. 7:30, 12:30, it makes sense to be 10:30. Read the bulletin, it's 10. this man was not guilty, he would have made Mass anyways before the three principal parts. But this man has respect for Mass. This man wanted to do the extra thing. This man wanted to be an example for you.
He doesn't want to be a pulpit.
He's an example for us all. He was at 12:30 Mass. He attended a full Mass. He did his duty. He doesn't have to worry about missing something great. And that's where today we want to reflect upon part of the gospel of today. There is a temptation. The devil is very kind. He knows scripture better than we do. He says, "Lord, if you be God, make these stones become bread." Our Lord's response, not by bread alone that the man live, but from all the words which proceed from the mouth of God. Did we know that the church is so great that it puts the bookends of the Mass with scripture? The prayers at the foot of the altar, Psalm 42. The last gospel is John chapter 1. If you make those bookends, you hear the word of God, by which you will be saved. It's a small thing, but a great thing to remember. When you miss the prayers at the foot of the altar, you miss the last gospel, you've missed part of the nourishment. We want to love these scriptures. And yet, at times, we just say, when is the best part to leave Mass? It happens. We're human. But we're going to make a difference this year. And by Easter time, we are not only happy that Lent is over, we are happy that we have made the resolution our own, and so that it's no longer a thing to do, but a necessary thing to do is to leave Mass. The problem is we have so many Masses, so many people going in and out. We don't know who is what and where is when. God will reward us if we make this one resolution to stay at Mass. Let us imitate.